I would like to say good evening, everyone. I would like to first thank Brother Brooks and Brother Stroud for allowing me the opportunity to speak the word of God to you all today. I would advise that you bring out your notepad this afternoon and be prepared to take note on the different scripture that I'll be going through. I do have plenty of scripture for today's lesson, so you do want to be prepared. Today I'll be talking about the benefit and reward of being a faithful, obedient Christian. Before I start the lesson, I want to define the word reward and the word Christian. The definition of the word reward means to repay someone. A reward is something given for something done. The definition of the word Christian simply means to be a follower of Christ. So let's put the two together. The reward offered to mankind is everyone can get to heaven if they become a Christian, a faithful and obedient Christian. And a Christian is a person who is a follower of Christ. A follower of Christ obeys God, and a follower of Christ is a New Testament Christian. Being a Christian, it comes with many benefits, which brings me to my first point. One benefit of being a faithful Christian is all faithful Christians who die in the Lord will know one another in heaven. Although, honestly, it wouldn't really matter if we knew one another or not, because the faithful Christians will be too overjoyed knowing that they will be in the presence of God for eternity. But the Bible clearly teaches us of future recognition. Do you have a loved one who died in the Lord? A loved one who you miss and loved dearly? You know, if they died being an obedient, faithful Christian in the eyes of the Lord, then you will see them again one day. If you die a faithful and obedient Christian, you may be saying, well, I just don't believe the idea of knowing one another in heaven, because what if you notice that your mother or father isn't there? What about your brother or sister? What if you notice the person who was your husband or wife while living on this earth isn't there? Well, you know, in Matthew 22 and 30, the Bible says, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. You see, in this verse, Jesus is teaching us that the marriage relationship ends after death. But it says we are as the angels in heaven. The angels in heaven do not marry, and they are not married. Revelation 21:4 says that God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So even if you do recognize that someone isn't there, such as mom or dad, husband or wife, God says that he's going to wipe away all tears and it's going to be no more sorrow. The angels in heaven know one another, and us faithful Christians who die in the Lord will know one another on that other side. In Genesis 25 and verse 8, listen how the Bible describes the death of Abraham. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. That same phrase, he was gathered unto his people, was used to describe the death of Ishmael in Genesis 35:29. It was used to describe the death of Jacob in Genesis 49:29. It was also used to describe the death of Moses and Aaron in Deuteronomy 32:50. The phrase gathered unto his people is not describing the place of burial for their bodies. And the way we know this is because the body of Moses was hidden in the secret place. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 34, verses 5 and 6, you will see that the body of Moses was hidden in the land of Moab, which was far away from his ancestors. The spirit of Moses was gathered unto his people. This here clearly signifies that us Christians will know one another in heaven. In 2 Samuel 12 and verse 23, David is grieving over the death of his child with Bathsheba. And David says, can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. You see, David has this belief that once he dies, he's going to see that child again. If you turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians 1 verses 14, Paul is speaking to the Corinthian brethren. He says that they were going to bring him rejoicing in the day of the Lord Jesus. The day of the Lord Jesus is referring to Judgment Day. Paul says that on Judgment Day, those Corinthian Christians will bring him rejoicing. The only way they can bring him rejoicing is if he recognized who they were. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, the Christians Paul wrote to in his letter were concerned of the brethren who died. Listen to what Paul wrote to them. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. In this text, the word asleep means those who are dead. Paul is telling them, don't be sad concerning the brethren who are dead. Verse 14 says, if we believe that Jesus died and he rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Paul is telling these Christians here, if you believe that Jesus died and he rose again, the same way that Jesus rose after death, in judgment day, God will raise those brethren who are dead the same way. The next verse says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout of the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And listen to this here. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Paul is telling these Christians here, don't worry about your brethren who died. On judgment day, you will be caught up in the air together with them. And then it says, we will ever be with the Lord. So comfort one another with these words. If us faithful Christians who died in the Lord will not know one another in heaven, that will mean in judgment day, we will be caught up in the air with a bunch of strangers. That idea contradicts the very teaching of what Paul told these Christians here. You know, once the Lord returns and takes the faithful, obedient Christians to heaven, we will not have the body that we have now. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, it reads, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands. Paul is saying, if this earthly body dies, we have a new body, a body not made with hands. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, it says, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You see, our new heavenly body will be changed, but we still will be recognizable. When Jesus died and showed himself to Mary in John 20 and 17, Mary tried to touch Jesus, but Jesus told her he has not ascended to the Father yet. You see, Jesus was in his changed body, and Jesus was not in his physical body, but Mary still could see and recognize who Jesus was. It's many scriptures all over the Bible that tell us that faithful Christians that make heaven will know one another in heaven. Our new bodies will be recognizable. Being a Christian means you're a part of something very special. Matthew 25 and 34 says, those who are children of God have had a place that was prepared for them since the beginning of time. This brings me to my second point. The most greatest reward that us faithful Christians have is we have a place that was prepared for us from the beginning of time, and that place is called heaven. The faithful Christian will go to the place that was prepared for the obedient from the beginning of time. Jesus said in John 14, verses 2 and 3, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus is simply saying here, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you, and when I come back, I'm going to come back to get you so you can come to heaven with me. You know, heaven is eternal, meaning it's going to last forever and ever. There's no ending in heaven. Matthew 25, verse 46 says, the righteous goes to life eternal. Life eternal is heaven. The righteous will go to heaven. The righteous are those who are obedient. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 10, it says that in heaven it's going to be no more thieves and no more drunkards. You see, heaven is going to be pure. It's going to be no sin in heaven because heaven is going to be, again, for the righteous only. Heaven is going to be a place of joy, a place of peace, and a place of comfort. Think about something that brings you joy. Has there ever been a time that you were down in spirit and then you think of something that brings you joy and it just lifts you right back up? Think back to the time that you were first baptized and obeyed the gospel. Do you remember how good you felt when you came up out of the water? That feeling of having your conscience fully clear with God. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 3:21 that being baptized not only saves us, but it gives us a good conscience towards God. Just think of a memory that brings you joy, peace, and happiness, and imagine having that feeling forever. See, heaven is far greater than anything you can imagine. Imagine living in a place where it never gets dark. Imagine never seeing darkness again. Revelation 22:5 says, "And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." You see, in heaven, it's going to be daytime all day long. Heaven is described as having an abundance of color and light in Revelation 4:1-4. Heaven is described as having a street of gold and having pearly gates, Revelation 21:21. Can you imagine living in a place with no sun? When I say no sun, I'm referring to the sun that we have in the sky on this earth. We won't need the sun that we have in this life because in Psalms 84:11, it says that God is a sun. God is so bright that he's going to be our sun. In 1 John 1:5, it says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. What's amazing about heaven is once us faithful Christians get there, we won't need the sun because we're going to have the Son of God there. Jesus the Christ, the Lamb of God. God is going to be the source of the light. In Revelation 21:23, the Bible says that the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, because the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. Just think about how beautiful this light will be. You remember in the book of Exodus, in Exodus 33:20, Moses wanted to see God, and God told Moses that no man can see me and live. I won't go over this whole chapter here, but do you remember how God showed Moses a glimpse of himself? In verse 23, God says that he will show Moses his backside, but his face shall not be seen. In Exodus 34:30, the Bible says that after Moses just seen the backside of God, the skin of his face shined so bright that the people around Moses were afraid to come near him. You see, what us Christians have to look forward to is in heaven, we won't see just a glimpse of God. Faithful Christians will be able to see God's face and not die. In Revelation 22:4, it says, "And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." Just think about that one more time. Moses only saw a glimpse of glory because God said if he sees his face, Moses is going to die. Us faithful Christians will be able to see the face of glory and live. Can you imagine that? You know, this world we live in, it's much difficulty and pains and sufferings and discouragements. Many people go through hardships in this life, such as losing a job, having a sickness, and sometimes us faithful Christians can become discouraged when trying to teach someone the truth and they don't receive it. Sometimes we may try to teach our family, may try to teach our mom, our dad, our sister, brother, husband, or wife, and it can be very discouraging when they don't want to hear the truth. And sometimes you may get to the point where you just want to give up. I'm here to tell you today, do not give up. In Galatians 6:9, it reads, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." You see, our God is all-knowing, and he knew that we would get weary. But he's telling us not to get weary. Don't give up. Don't get lazy. Keep pressing forward and keep going. It's all going to be worth it because a day of comforting is coming. In Revelation 21:4, it says that God is going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. There's going to be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, and neither shall there be any pain, for the former things are passed away. In this life, we have death. We have sorrow. We have crying. And we have pain. It's all unavoidable. Everyone will go through it all. But if we just hold on and faint not, we won't ever have to experience any of that again. As Peter said in 1 Peter 4:16, "If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Friends, it's many benefits to being a Christian, and heaven is just too beautiful to miss. You know, the sad truth is, not everyone will get to heaven. The Bible says in Matthew 7, verses 21 through 22, that not everyone who says to Jesus, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. In verse 22, it says, many will say to me in judgment day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done wonderful works? Listen to what Jesus says here. Jesus says, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And Jesus said that many good people who believe in Jesus will not get to heaven for the simple fact of they did not do the will of the Father, meaning they didn't obey God. They didn't get baptized to have their sins forgiven. They didn't get baptized into the one church that you can read about in the Bible, the Church of Christ. That's the reward of being a Christian. You won't have to worry about any of those things if you obey God. On the day of Judgment Day, the Lord will say to the faithful Christian, well done, thou good and faithful servant, Matthew 25 and verse 21. Do you know that not every Christian is going to get to heaven? Which is why I keep putting emphasis on being a faithful, obedient Christian. If you're a Christian and you're not walking in the light, meaning you're not living your life in a way that's pleasing to God, you will not have fellowship with God by walking in darkness, as you can see in 1 John 1 verses 5 through 10. If you have sins in your life that you have not repented of, you will not see this beautiful place called heaven. You will not make it to heaven if you continue to live in sin. As Romans 6 verses 1 and 2 says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in sin? I'm trying to strongly encourage all of us to continue to be faithful, obedient Christians so we can all make heaven our home someday. Or if you're not a faithful Christian, why don't you start today? You can start being more faithful today. The most greatest thing about heaven is, as 1 John chapter 5, verses 7 says, the Father, the Word, which is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is in heaven. So my two main points for today is, again, point number one, one benefit that us faithful, obedient Christians has is once we die, once the Lord comes back, we would know one another in heaven. And point number two, the reward of a faithful and obedient Christian is we have a beautiful place that was prepared for us from the beginning of time, and that place is called heaven. There's many more benefits of being a Christian, but in order to get any benefit, you must become a true Christian, a New Testament Christian. You must obey the doctrine of Christ. You must be a member of the Lord's church, which is the Church of Christ. You see, Christ came down on this cruel and evil world and died for the sins of the world. You must obey the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 5, the Bible teaches that the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. You see, the way Jesus died, it was very cruel. Christ was beat, he was mocked, he was laughed at, he was spit upon, and they whipped him with a whip, and it caused stripes to be all over his body. He bled so much that his clothes looked like they were dipped in blood. They put a crown of thorns on Christ's head, and they put nails in his hands and in his feet. Christ would then hang on that cross in between two thieves, where he would hang on the cross to die for the sins of the world. When Christ died, he purchased his church with his own blood, Acts 20:28. In Matthew 26:28, Jesus said that the blood was shed for the remission of sins. In order to contact the blood to have your sins forgiven, you must be baptized. You see, Christ died for sin, and we must die to sin. The way we die to sin is by being baptized. Romans 6 verses 1 through 4 tells us that when we're baptized, we are baptized into Christ's death. And after baptism, you raise again a walk in the newness of life. The Bible teaches us that it's only one church in the Bible. You can't be saved by being a part of any other church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 17, the Bible teaches us that division is sinful. You see, in this chapter here, Paul is begging the Corinthian brothers here to speak the same thing and be of the same mind in the same judgment. If you're a part of any other church, it's sinful because the Bible again says that the church should be all speaking and teaching the same thing. Notice in verse 12, it reads, some say I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Christ. Notice Paul asks a question in verse 13. He says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? You see, some Christians during this time were dividing themselves, saying, I'm a Paul Christian, I'm an Apollos Christian, and I'm a Cephas Christian. And Paul says that this is sinful. He even goes to say in verse 14, he said, I thank God that I didn't baptize any of you. You see, this is exactly what the world is doing today. The Bible only speaks of a person being called a Christian and a Christian only. In today's world, we have many people that say they're Christians and they divide themselves by hyphenating the name Christian. Some say that they're Baptist Christians. Some say that they're Pentecostal Christians or a Methodist Christian. Some say they're Catholic Christians. The list can go on and on, but you see, that's division. Many of these churches I recently named, they teach different things. For example, the Baptist Church believes that baptism is not necessary, but in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, the Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. In 1 Peter 3:21, the Bible says that baptism saves us. Another example is in the Catholic Church, they believe that babies should be baptized. But the Word of God teaches us that a person must be baptized when they believe. As Mark 16, 15 and 16 said again, it said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Friends, a baby cannot believe. The church is supposed to be of one mind and have the same judgment. The church is supposed to be of unity. And Ephesians 4:4 tells us it's only one body. Ephesians 1:22 says the church is the body. So it's only one church. Colossians 1:18 says Christ is the head of the body, the church. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one spirit we are all baptized into one body, into one church. You see, the one spirit does not teach us to be baptized in any other church but Christ's church, the church of Christ. And that church is supposed to speak the same thing. There's no other church that you can find in the Bible. Romans 16:16 says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. If you want to be baptized and be added to the Lord's church, you have to follow these simple steps here. Step number one, you must hear. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Step two, you must believe. John 8:24 says, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Step number three, you must repent. Luke 13:3 says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Step number four, you must confess. Matthew 10:32 says that whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father, which is in heaven. You must make that same confession as the eunuch did in Acts 8:37. Before the eunuch was baptized, he made a confession and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Step five, you must be baptized. Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In Acts 22:16, Saul is told by Ananias to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord, meaning then after baptism, you can pray to God. Once being baptized, the Lord will add you to his church, the only church that you can read about in the Bible, the church of Christ. Acts 2:47 says, the Lord adds to the church daily those who are being saved. Once you complete those steps, you must be faithful unto death. Revelation 2:10. And that's how you will gain access to the benefit and the reward of a faithful and obedient Christian. I thank you all for your attention, and now I'll be handing it back over to Brother Brooks.